Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another Thursday Night Shir. This week, we are learning the mitzvah number 29, mitzvah chavtes, which is the mitzvah of lighting a fire on the mizbeach. So, as always, we'll take a look at the Rambam, see what he says, how he explains the mitzvah, and then we'll go through some halachas about it, and then try and get the underlying meaning of what the halach is supposed to be doing for us practically. So let's take a look. So the Rambam says, "He shetzivanu, we have been commanded, lahav ir esh al hamizbeach, to light a fire on mizbeach, b'chol yom tamid, every single day and consistently. B'hu amru yisale, this is what Hashem says, esh tamid tukad al hamizbeach, that there shall always be a fire burning on the mizbeach, and the last words are lo sichbet, should not go out. V'zelo yitachin, it's not." The only way to fully accomplish this mitzvah is b'hasmadas shum esh al ha'etzim baboker u'bein harabayim. The consistency of having a fire on the mizbeach continually in the morning and in the afternoon. Kemoshen is bar b'sheni shel Yuma, like it is explained in the second chapter of Yuma in Masechet Tamid and Masechet of Tamid. U'bebiur, and explaining this, Amru, the Gemara, they've explained, Chacham explained to us, af al pi sha'esh yeredes min hashamayim. So there was a tremendous, tremendous miracle that happened every single day in the Beis HaMikdash, and that was that there was a fire that came down from heaven and would start burning in the morning whatever karbonis that were on the Mizbeach. The fire would come down, descend from heaven, and burn on the Mizbeach. However, even though there was still that happened, even though there was fire coming all the way from Shemayim, nonetheless, mitzvah lahavi min ha-hedyot. There was a mitzvah for a kohen to go ahead and take a fire, take a match, and light the wood that was on the mizbeach. Anyway, ukvar hisbaru dinei mitzvah zu b'yum v'tamid. The dinim of this halacha has been explained. We'll see that a little bit coming up. Rotzalomer mitzvos ma'areches ha'esh asher yasu b'chol yom b'mizbeach. So it wasn't just a fire, the mitzvah of the organization of the wood that was on the Mizbeach, which is the wood that had to be lit. We're going to see that there are actually different opinions as to how many sections and how many piles of wood were actually arranged on the Mizbeach. But this is the mitzvah number 29, the mitzvah of lighting a fire on Mizbeach. In spite of the fact that there was a miracle that fire came down from heaven, there's still a mitzvah every single day for the Kohen to go ahead and light the Mizbeach anyway. Now let's first again see the psukim. Let's see what the pasuk that the Rambam quoted for us, and it says, "Eish tamid al mizbeach lo sechbe." This is the pasuk that there is going to be a consistent fire on the mizbeach, and it should not go out. Okay. The truth is, there's a pasuk even before, "V'ha'eish al mizbeach tukad bo." The eish, the fire that's on the mizbeach, is what you're going to light. Lo sichbe, it doesn't go out. Ubir Allah hakoin eitzim baboker baboker. You're going to burn wood on the mizbeach every single day. The arach aleha ola behiktar aleha chal v'hashlamim. This is talking about the carbon that was brought every single day was the bring a carbon ola on the mizbeach and a carbon shlamim as well. So this is the psukim that tell us you have to light the fire on the mizbeach. Now some of the details we have to go to the Gemara and Yuma. Or it's really sir, we have to first see a Mishnah and then we'll see a Gemara. So the Mishnah says, it's very lengthy Mishnah, so we're not going to go through the entire thing inside, but the general idea of the Mishnah is Maseches Yuma is all about Yom Kippur. It's all about Yom HaKippurim, the Day of Atonement. And the Mishnah goes through different similarities and comparisons and differences that were present on the Mizbeach or in the Beis HaMikdash on the day of Yom Kippur versus the rest of the year. So for example, the Mishnah says, Shachto v'kibel b'mizrek, the Kohen would shecht his animal and catch the blood in a vessel as damo. V'nosna l'mishu m'maris ala robet haravisha b'heichol. And there would be somebody that would sit there mixing the blood to make sure that it wouldn't congeal. And he was on the fourth step in the heichol. And it says, Kadesh al Yikrosh, Natal Machtav Olarosh in Mizbeach. He would take the fire pan and go to the top of the Mizbeach. Upon Pina Gecholim Elach Ve'elach. And he would push around the fire, the coals back and forth until he would Vechotem in a Ukalos Hapnimios. He would find the hottest coals that were in the center of the pile of coals, and that's what he would take into his fire pan. The yard v'hinichal roven harvi shabazar, and he would put it next to the on the same step that the person he had just handed the blood to, he would give that to the to put the pan of coals on the step as well. So this is the order of the service in the Beis Hamikdash, and it says b'chol yom, every single day of the year. Every year he would stoke the coals with a silver poker and put the coals into a golden pan. Today he would use a golden poker, and that's what he would use to go. He would use that very same golden pan. He would not switch between gold and silver. Okay, so different. That's one difference. Let's just jump down to what's relevant to us. There was a whole bunch of different things, and it says, "B'kol yom, every single day of the year, hayusham arba ma'arachos." There are four different arrangements of wood on the altar on the mizbeach. The hayom, but on Yom Kippur, chamish. There was five. There are five different pyres, five different sections of wood. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbi Yossi says, no. B'chol yom shalosh v'hayom arba. Every single day there were three. Today there were four. On Yom Kippur there was an extra fourth one. Rabbi Yehuda says, b'chol yom shtayim. Every day there was two. V'hayom shalosh, and on Yom Kippur there was three. So we have a three-way debate as to what the number of arrangements on the Mizbech was every day. And subsequently, how many there were on Yom Kippur. Everybody obviously agrees that there was one extra one on Yom Kippur versus the rest of the year. But the question is, how many was there? How many piles of wood were there standard on the Mizbeach? So that's the Mishnah that tells us the difference in Yom Kippur and the rest of the year. Now let's take a look at the Gemara. And the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, b'chol yom hayu shtayim ma'arachos. There were two piles, v'hayom shalosh. Now what were these four? Achas ma'aracha gedola. One was a big, large pile of wood, and that was where the majority of the korbanos were brought. Achas ma'aracha shnil shel ketores. There was another pile of wood, which is smaller, but it was for the sake of burning the ketores. The ketores wasn't burned on the mizbeach, on this mizbeach. It was burned on the inside, but you would take coals from this mizbeach and bring it to the inside. Achas shemosifin bo bayom, and one extra one for that day. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. That is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yossi Omer, here we go. This is what we're really here for, is b'chol yom shalosh, there were three. Yom arba, today there's four. Achas shal marocha gedola, one where the majority of the korbanos were burned. Achas marocha shnel shal ketores, one, the second one was for the sake of the ketores. Achas shal kiyum ha'esh. This line right here, the third one was for the sake of kiyum ha'esh, is to have a fire on the mizbeach consistently. Okay, so Rabbi Yossi is the one who introduces to us, based on the psukim that we saw, that the Ramban quotes, that we would have a separate set pile of wood that was used to make sure that at all times there was a fire burning on the Mizbeach. That was the idea, that's the halacha that we have to have, and the Ramban told us a separate halacha that a Kohen actually had to go ahead and light it. Even though there was a fire that was going to come down from heaven, there was still a mitzvah, it was a positive commandment for a Kohen to go ahead and light it every single day. So those are the basic halachas, not very complicated in what to do. It may even be that a non-Kohen could actually go ahead and light the twigs and throw it onto the Mizbeach. He couldn't actually be there because it's too far in where Yisrael can't go, but a non-Kohen might actually even be able to light the fire. Okay, so that is the end of the halachic topic of this mitzvah. So now let's try and understand what's the depth of this mitzvah. What's really going on? What does the Torah want from us? None of us are Kohanim. We can't work in the Beis HaMikdash. We can't do service in the temple. So what does this have to do with us? How does this relate to us? So there's two ideas that I want to share with you. Very, very powerful and beautiful, beautiful ideas. And the first comes from the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch explains, in his counting, this is mitzvah number 132. And he goes through and tells us what the understanding behind this mitzvah is. And he says, Mishurashei HaMitzvah, from the roots of this mitzvah. So first, you have to know, Yadua hadavar beinenu ve'itzel kol chacham. Everybody knows, all wise people, kinisim gedolim asher yaseh hakel al bnei adam b'tuva gadol. The miracles that God does for man in his great kindness, la'olam yaseh derech seser. Those are always done in a hidden fashion. So hidden doesn't necessarily mean that we can't see it, but hidden means they're cloaked under something. So the sun coming up and down is just as much of a great miracle as if somebody were, God forbid, in a car accident and walks out without a scratch. Both of those are just as equal miracles. One is cloaked in nature, and the things that we take for granted almost and we see as nature, those are just as equal miracles as something that we see as supernatural, that the splitting of the Red Sea. These are all miracles. And therefore, Hashem is always hiding miracles to make them look like they're natural. Teva mamish, or bekarav l'teva, or similar to nature. Kingam b'neis kriyas yamsof, even in the splitting of the sea, shehaya neis meforsam, which was a very public miracle. Everybody knew about that. Still, what does the Torah say over there? It says, "Vayolach Hashem es hayam biruach kadem azakol alaylo, vayosam es hayam lacharavah vaybakwa mayim." The pasuk seems to say almost like as if Hashem, besides making the water split, he also made sure that there was this very powerful wind going the whole night, that it would almost, because of the wind, that's why the water separated. Now, why would God do this? Why would Hashem perform miracles in a hidden fashion? What's the purpose of that? So the reason, says the Chinuch, is because the greatness of the master of the world, the greatness of the creator, and the recipient of these miracles, we may not be on such a great level, obviously not anywhere near Hashem. And therefore, Hashem, in order for him to, so to speak, communicate to us, the user interface has to be something that is more hidden and more simple. That way we can accept it. And it's because of this, we have to light the fire on the Mizbeach. And this is what he says, Afal pisha sham yored esh min hashamayim, even though we know that there was a fire that always came down from heaven. Kidei lahasdir hanes, nonetheless, in order to hide the miracle, a Kohen had to go ahead and light the candle. The fire wasn't really seen all the time. It wasn't the image that you might have in your head, that there was this pillar of fire that would shoot down from the sky. Didn't exactly look like that. There was a few times in history that happened. But generally speaking, that's not what happened. Okay, so the reason says, the first thing the Chinuch says, the Sefer HaChinuch tells us, is in order to cloak the miracle into something more natural, we had to light the fire ourselves as well. And then he adds, "V'adayin anu tzrichim lomar." We still have to say, "Mahu inyan ha-mitzvah lahadlik esh al mizbeach, milvad ha-esh ha-tzarach shem l'karbon." Why do we need a fire at all? If we have a fire that's used to burn the karbanos, to burn the sacrifices, for whatever we need to do them for, what do we need this other fire for? What's the point of it? What purpose does it serve? And he says, "V'nemar al tzad apshat she'ukinyan k'mashe kasabnu b'mitzvahs lechem apon." He says this is similar to what we wrote in the mitzvah of the showbread. "She'adam mizbarech lefi maisa." Person is blessed based on his actions. "She'osek bahem l'ratzon boro." That he does them all for the sake and the involvement in the service of Hashem. This is what we said. He says that the reason behind the showbread was that way we have something totally holy, totally spiritual that we involve ourselves in, and the blessing will spread from there even to the mundane, even to the regular bread that we bake in our houses. That gets blessed because of the bread that was being baked in the Beis HaMikdash. So ke'elu tamar al derech mashal shabracha tispashet b'mina, it spreads to its own things. So therefore, kamo kein hu esek hamitzvah be'esh, this is the idea of lighting the fire, b'chol yom, every single day. She is barech ha'onam b'inyan ha'esh shabo, that way, whatever we have our own fire, so to speak, those things should also be blessed. So we have a mitzvah, we have something that is totally spiritual. God gave us a spiritual commandment, that way that when we fulfill that commandment, the spirituality overflows even to the mundane things. When we turn the fire on in our oven, when we turn the fire on to be able to see with a candle when we walk through our house, all of those fires should be blessed because of the fire that we lit in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, it's a beautiful idea. It's very, very fascinating how we can have something holy, which then spreads its blessing to non-holy things, so to speak. But the question for you and I is that, you and me, is that this is not something that's practical anymore. There is nobody lighting a fire in the Beis HaMikdash anymore. There is nobody baking bread in the Beis HaMikdash. Those mitzvahs are gone with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So what does that do for us? We don't have that anymore. What can we do to make sure that all the things that we have get blessed? So I want to share with you a beautiful, beautiful Ben Ish Chai. Benish Chai is absolutely amazing. Unfortunately, there's no direct English translation, so you'll have to bear with me. I'll translate it for you as I go along. But it's really, really, truly fascinating what he says. He says, Eish tamed tukar al mizbeach lo sichbe. This is the verse that tells us that the fire has to be burning on the mizbeach at all times, and it should not go out. Nirali b'siyata d'shmayim. It would seem to me, with the help of Hashem, says the Benish Chai, halev nikra mizbeach, that our heart is also called an altar. L'kach ha-mizbeach haya lamed beis amos. And because of that, the actual altar in the Beis HaMikdash was 32 amos, the same numerical value as lev, lamed beis, 32, the numerical value of heart. The otzar ha-torah hu ha-lev, and the storehouse of the Torah is in our heart. Now, very often, just to keep in mind, when we use the term heart, in our biology, a heart is not a thinking or feeling organ. It's a mechanical organ that pumps and pumps and pumps and keeps the blood flowing through our body. It's not something that feels or has sensitivities or cares. A heart, the place that has our feelings and sensitivities and cares, is our mind. So whenever we use the term heart, it just is a reference to the seat of emotion. And the seat of emotion is our mind and our feelings. So that's usually what heart means. So the otzer hatorah leiv al kein miloy lamed beis kazeh. So therefore, it says the Benish Chai, if you spell out the letters of lev, you have lev is two letters, lamed and beis. How do you spell the letter lamed? You spell it lamed mem dalid. That's how you'd spell it. If you spell it in Hebrew, it would be spelled lamed mem dalid. And if you spell beis, it would be beis yod saf. That's how you'd spell it. So because of lamed beis, we're going to see how the spelling of these words have to do with the fire. Who osios tamid, remez, who osios tamid. If you mix around all these six letters, lamed and beis, lamed mem dalid, beis yod saf, you'll get tamid and lave. Those are the two words that you can pull out of it. So it's a remez, it's a hint, shetia hatorah munachas toch halev b'tminus. It's a sign that the Torah should consistently be on our hearts. Lo tistalik misham, you should never move it. Even when we're sleeping, even when we're sleeping, our dreams should be about the Torah. like a pasuk says, I am sleeping, but my heart is awake. So therefore, the first step is that the mizbeach is called the lev. The mizbeach, the altar, is the lev, and the lev is the place where the Torah is. In the same way, the Torah should always be on our heart. We're going to say the fire. That's where the fire comes from. The fire should always be on the mizbeach. The Torah nikras eish. The Torah is called fire. The chsiv divri ka'esh, divari ka'esh no mashem. My word is like fire, the word of Hashem. V'zeh shekosev eish ha-Torah tamid tukar al mizbeach ha-lev lo sichbe. Afilu balelos. That's how we should read the pasuk, right? Let's look at the pasuk again, the bold words. The bold words are the actual words in the Torah. Eish tamid tukar al ha-mizbeach lo sichbe. Eish tamid, a consistent fire, tukar al mizbeach, should burn on the mizbeach. Lo sichbe, it should not go out. So based on what the Benish Chai told us, since Eish really just means is a reference to the Torah, so then we should read it like this. Eish ha-Torah, the fire of the Torah, we'll put Torah in the middle over here. Tamid should always be burning. Tukad al mizbeach should always be burning where? On the mizbeach, which is our heart. Lo sichbe, even at night when we're sleeping, it should not go out. The fire should never go out. K'moshe kosov taima kitov sachra lo yichbe b'leil l'neiro. That the merchandise that Hashem has given us is so great that it shouldn't be put out. Even at night, the candle of the Torah should not be put out. What we see from this Benish Chai is absolutely fascinating. The reason behind Hashem telling us light a fire on the Mizbeach consistently is to tell us that the fire on the Mizbeach is a representation of the Torah that's in our heart. We have the Torah in our heart. We have the spirituality in our heart. It is there. And it's our job to consistently keep it lit and always, always burning. There was a great, great rabbi. I can't remember what his name was right now, but he had a heart attack. And when he was wheeled into the emergency room, so there was a delegate. There was somebody that was a person who was very involved in politics and things on behalf of the Jewish people. And he was standing there at the hospital to make sure that the hospital would realize this is a very, very holy person. This is a very special person. And they should give him a lot of attention. And when they wheeled him in, they saw him with his arm like this, arm on his head. And they couldn't understand what was going on. The doctors were trying to figure out why was his arm on top of his head. He was lying down, obviously, on the gurney, but his arm was on his head. They couldn't understand why. And this person said, "You don't understand. This man has never walked, slept, or done anything without his head covered, without his yarmulke on. Even in this state, somehow, I can't explain it to you in a physiological fashion. I can't explain it to you scientifically. But somehow, in spite of the fact that he just had a heart attack, he was still conscious that his yarmulke had fallen off and he wanted to keep his head covered. It's not a normal thing. That's an unbelievable level. And that's something that we can imagine. That's the idea of the Ben Ish Chai telling us, even at night when we're sleeping, we should be dreaming about the Torah. We should be dreaming about being better people, serving Hashem better, being connected to Hashem in a deeper sense. So the mitzvah that we are learning about tonight, Eish Tamid Tukar al Mizbeach, the fire that is on the Mizbeach, is a reference of the Torah. That we have Lev, our heart, which is the Mizbeach. We have the Eish, which is the Torah. The Torah should always be on our heart. It should be a way for us to always connect to Hashem. Whether awake, whether we're sleeping, that is our singular focus. It's important to always remember that no matter what we do, no matter where we are, no matter our profession, no matter our job, no matter what we involve ourselves in, every single time we have an opportunity to connect Hashem. When we talk to people, when we engage with them, when we're sitting at our own home, when we're thinking, when we're waiting online at the bus, whatever it might be, there are always these times to serve and to connect Hashem. It's a tumid. It's consistent. That's the idea of this mitzvah. We'll go just a quick recap. We had the idea of having a fire on the Mizbeach every single day, that the fire should be lit by a Kohen, even though the fire comes down from heaven. We saw three opinions as to how many different pyres of wood there were on the actual Mizbeach, and obviously that changed on Yom Kippur. And then we saw the Chinuch, who told us that the reason for this mitzvah is that when we do something specifically connected to holiness, the blessing therefore overflows and spreads to even the mundane things. And then we have this Ben Ish Chai, who's showing us that the fire on the Mizbeach is a representation of the Torah on our hearts, and it's something that should always be there, and we should always be focusing on our relationship with Hashem. Thank you all so much for coming. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer.
You may. Thank you, Rabbi. You actually fine.
Thank you. A pleasure.
Just a quick one. This may have been implied in the text somewhere, but I was curious why miracles are cloaked in kind of natural, you know, why is it better to kind of do it that way?
So the way the Chinuch used the term, he said that because of the loftiness of the Creator and the difference as to where we are, so there, that would warrant that it shouldn't be so overt. One of the things that the Chachamim always tell us is that God put us on this world to make choices, not to be swayed entirely one way or the other. So if Hashem would perform miracles in an outright fashion and it would be impossible for us to deny, so then we'd just be serving God out of mechanical robotics, not because we actually felt it. And therefore Hashem always wants to give us that option of choice. So when we look at the sun rising every morning, we have the choice. Do we say, you know what, I see this every day. It's going to happen tomorrow again. Anyway, you know what, I think most likely it's just natural, right? And we ignore the miracle behind it. That's a choice. Or we can say, well, this is amazing. It happens every single day. It's hard to appreciate it fully, but at least once in a while, I can say, wow, what a beautiful miracle that the sun rises. It's really for our ability to make that choice.
Rabbi, is the Ner Tamid on an Aron a zecher for this idea?
Yes, absolutely. That's exactly right. That's right. Every base Knesset, every shul is a mikdash ma'at, is a small sanctuary. And we have a lot of things that kind of represent that. We have fire, we have Eish Tamid, we have, the bima is, in our shul specifically, it's very nice because it's actually elevated. Similar to the Mizbeach, which you had to go up to go to, you know, things like that. So, yeah, absolutely. That's definitely where it comes from. Okay. Thank you all so much for coming. Have a wonderful weekend, and hopefully we'll see you next week.
Thank you so much, Rabbi. Have a good night.
You too.